Praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
Well, it's wonderful to see all of you here tonight, and we are going to open with a prayer. Father in heaven, we come before thee this night, thanking thee that thou hast brought us here so that we may come together and worship thee in this place. I pray, O God, that thy Spirit would be here. I pray that thy Holy Ghost would be upon each and every one of us, O God. I pray, O God, that thou would accept our praises here tonight. I pray that thy presence would be felt, for we know that the Scriptures tell us that thou inhabitest the praises of thy people. So we pray, O God, that thou would be here with us each and every step of the way. Let everything we do here tonight be done to thy glory. And I pray, O God, that thy perfect will be done. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus, to the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are going to start with number 15 in the chorus, but tonight the windows of heaven are open. Number 15.
The windows of heaven are open. The Savior is calling tonight. There is joy, joy, joy in my heart since Jesus made everything right. I gave him my old tattered garment. He gave me a robe of pure white. I'm tasting a gift from heaven.
Go to number 94 and sing, "Wherever I Am, I'll Praise Him. Whenever I Can, I'll Praise Him." Number 94.
Up the name of Jesus.
wonderful thing to praise the Lord. In fact, let's go to number 11 and sing "Let's Just Praise the Lord." Number 11. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just and sing "Let Go and Let God Have His Way," number 25.
Let go and let God have His wonderful way. Let go.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Well, you know, there's a song that has just been on my mind today, and I'm not even sure why exactly, but it's just been on my mind, and perhaps we need to sing it. Praise the Lord. I believe it's number 18 in the hymnal, our Melodies of Praise hymnal, number 18, The Solid Rock. Why don't we sing that right now? Praise the Lord. Sometimes you'll be singing one song and another one will pop into your head, and you'll just feel the urgency of the Spirit to sing that one too. Let's go to number 237 and sing I've Anchored in Jesus, number 237. Praise the Lord.
To save, I'm anchored to the rock of faith.
deliver, to him I all confide. For always when I need him, he's at my side. I'm anchored in Jesus, his storms of life I'll brave. I'm anchored in Jesus, I fear no wind nor wave. I'm anchored in Jesus, for he hath power to save. I'm anchored to the rock of ages. He is my friend and savior, in him anchors cast. He drives away my sorrows and shields me from the blast. By faith I'm looking upward beyond life's troubled sea. There I behold a haven prepared for me. I'm anchored. So thankful that our anchor is in Jesus, for we know when we're anchored in him, we won't be swept away. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We are going to take up the collection now. Matt, would you help us with that, please? Thank you, sir. Praise the Lord. Father in heaven, we thank you this night for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank you, O God, for all thy blessings, for all that thou hast done for us. And I pray, O God, that thou would continue to lead, guide, and direct us in all things. Give us thy great wisdom. For we need thy wisdom, we need thy discernment, we need thy understanding. Lead us and direct us, I pray. Help us, O God, to know how these funds should be used for thy purpose, for thy glory. And lead us in all things in the days ahead. For we know, O God, we live in a world with much uncertainty. But we know that we have strength and stability in thee, our anchors in thee. Thou art our solid rock, and we trust in thee completely. I pray, O God, that thou would bless the givers here this night, and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to sing one more song, and the song that we happen to have on sheets, I guess we won't need too many of them here tonight, but this is a wonderful song called In Times Like These. All right. Praise the Lord. In times like these, we're going to go ahead and sing this right now. Thank you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. We must be very sure that our anchor holds. Praise the Lord. Well, we do have one prayer request here before we turn this over to Shirley for tonight. And this is another prayer request from Brian and Vicki. And it says here, God has been doing amazing things in Maya's spiritual battle, pulling down one stronghold after another. Please pray that he will finish his work in her and drive away every evil spirit that has come against her, and that he will raise her up to be a powerful witness to the delivering power of Jesus Christ. So we have been praying for Maya, and we will pray for her once again. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this night on behalf of Maya, praying, O God, that thou would continue to touch her with thy spirit. Let her feel thy presence. Help her, O God, to reach out to thee, to give you every burden, to fully put her faith and her trust in thee. I pray, O God, that thy spirit would move upon her, that she would seek thee completely. I pray that every evil thing would be driven from her life, every evil spirit, every hindering force, O God. We rebuke these in Jesus' name, and we trust thee, O God, for complete deliverance. Touch Maya, we pray. Finish this work, we ask, O God. We pray, O God, that she would continually seek thee, that she would be brought to thee to be a wonderful witness to thee, a faithful witness, O God. Give her great power in thy spirit and great might, we pray. And we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus, to the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to turn it over to Shirley now and see what the Lord has put on her heart. Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. For God is so good.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise the Lord. I was just remembering last Wednesday night. I know Leo was telling me that she saw me in a dream. And I was saying, praise the Lord, my arm is healed. And it was true that Sunday before, I could hardly move my arm at all, my right arm. And I kind of had a stuck arm before in the past. And I know, oh boy, what it could be like, and how helpless you feel, and the help you need. And Sam prayed for me that Sunday after the service. And praise the Lord, you know, God began to work. And by Monday I was walking around and with my girls, and tell you what, the Lord is healing it, and it's recovered. I can raise my arm. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But that's our God. And you know, he tries to clobber us sometimes. I know sometimes my head feels like it's stuck. I do have a little trouble with my neck, and just keep on believing the Lord, because you know he's greater than all those things. He knows how to help us, and you know sometimes I think we're just being tried, and just to see, do we have any faith? You know, are we going to believe God regardless of what it seems like or feels like or looks like? You know, our faith is tested. But praise the Lord, our God knows how to deliver us, and he's there continuously to help us. And that's a wonderful thing. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Our God is good. Amen. Those prayers of faith. Amen. Thank God. I thank God for what he's doing in Maya's life. You know, it's a wonderful thing that we can cry out to the Lord for our loved ones and know that God is faithful and just. He hears us, that he knows how to intervene. He knows how to change. He knows all the angles that we don't possibly know ourselves. And it's a wonderful thing that we can just trust in God and put things in his hands. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to pray right now and ask God to be here. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your mercy, your kindnesses to us, Lord. Oh, God, we thank you that we can worship you, Lord, and that you put it within us, Lord, to be able to cry out to you, Lord. Oh, God, for there's so many that don't know thee, Lord. There's so many that are living in darkness, oh, Lord, and relying on their own abilities. And I thank you, God, that you called us, Lord. Oh, God, that you gave us a mind to perceive, Lord, thy goodness, thy mercy. Oh, Lord, oh, God, the humility that we needed to cry out to you, Lord, and, oh, God, to turn things over to you, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you talk to our hearts tonight. Pray, oh, God, that you get us ready, oh, Lord, for that great and terrible day of the Lord. Oh, God, that's forthcoming, oh, Lord, upon the face of this earth. I pray, oh God, that you give us the directives that we need, Lord Jesus, the words of life that we need, oh God, the inspiration that we need, Lord, and the faith that we need, Lord Jesus, the faith to endure, Lord, the faith to stand fast, oh God, oh Lord, the faith to lean on thee, oh God, for the things, oh God, that we have need of, Lord. Oh God, we thank you, Lord, oh God, for thou art able to do great and wonderful things beyond that which we could ask or think, Lord. Oh, God, and I pray, oh, God, that you move in our hearts here tonight to get us to that place that we need to be in you, Lord. Oh, God, for you coming, oh, Lord, in the day and hour, Lord, when many are not looking for thee. We ask that you put it in our hearts to be guarded and to be watchful and to be looking for thee. We ask, oh, Lord, oh, God, that you be here now in Jesus' name, oh, Lord, that you anoint these words, and oh God, oh Lord, that you give us what we have need of here tonight, Lord. Oh God, for oh God, we could not do it of ourselves. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name, oh Lord. And oh God, every ungodly, circumcised spirit would be, oh God, be bound in the name of Jesus. Oh God, we ask, oh Lord, that you give your word free course, that you'd help us here tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. We're going to go to the book of Ephesians, and this portion of scripture that we're dealing with is all about Christian conduct. And, you know, I just think it's just wonderful that we have this guidance. You know, I can half imagine, perhaps, how exciting it must have been for the New Testament church when they received one of Paul's letters. And, you know, they didn't have the New Testament like we have it today. And, you know, we sometimes tell them to, you know, to share that letter with, you know, the other believers that were nearby. And, you know, it must have been so endearing and so helpful to have his words. You know, he wasn't there in person, but, you know, oh, there was so much wisdom in his words, and it was truly anointed by the Lord, and you know, they must have been so happy to receive it, and likewise, we have it here tonight. And we can open it up, too, because it wasn't just written to the church at Ephesus, but it said even in that first verse, in that first chapter 2, the faithful in Christ Jesus is a letter written to the church. And praise the Lord, if we've been born again of the water and of the Spirit, we are part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Praise our God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm going to get a running start here by going to the fourth chapter. And I got a little hurried there at the end last week. And I'm just going to go through these portions of verses because they also relate to our conduct in Christ. And it's really important, and you know, that we have this guidance from God's Word. There's so many things that we wouldn't know without it. But praise the Lord, we can open it up here tonight and be directed by these wonderful words that were inspired by the living God. Praise the Lord. So Ephesians 4, and let's start with verse 22. It says that he put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that he put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And praise the Lord, it's a wonderful thing that we have been born again, as I already mentioned, but that is the case. If we are new creatures in Christ, we know that old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And praise the Lord, here he's telling us to put off concerning the former conversation, the former conduct of our old way, our old life when we didn't know the Lord. And he mentions that it's corrupt according to all the deceitful lusts, all the allurement of sin, and all the deceit of the enemy that surrounds us even in this world today. But praise the Lord, there's a way that we can give it to the Lord, and we can put it off, and we can embrace that new life that we have in Christ Jesus. In verse 23, yes, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Oh yes, day by day, we need that renewal, that new fuel. Oh, to ignite that flame within our heart. Oh, yes, so that spirit is fervent within us. It's renewed day by day when we renew our minds in the Word of God and we reflect on the things of God. Oh, yes, and we sing praises to the Lord. Yes, when His Word is renewed. And, oh, yes, we meditate upon it. Oh, yes, and when we pray in the Spirit, oh, praise the Lord, He begins to work in our heart to change the things that need to be changed, those things that we don't know of at times that we need to give to the Lord and let Him work, do that kind of operating work in that life, those people that we pray for or in our very own being. And then it tells us, verse 24, that you put on the new man. Oh, praise the Lord. That new creature in Christ, that we put it on, that we embrace it, as it were a garment that we put on. And surely we are given that garment of His righteousness, His holiness, and we can put it on when we're clothed with His Spirit. And it says, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Oh, praise the Lord. He begins to work in our being to make a new person. And just as He made us, you know, originally in the physical sense, oh, He begins to reformat us in the spiritual sense. When we give our life to the Lord, He begins to create in us His righteousness and His holiness so that we can put on that new man, so we can be totally changed and renewed in our spirit, that spirit of our mind. So there are some things that we therefore put off. And here in Ephesians 4, it gives us some specifics. It says, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Oh, praise the Lord. So, you know, that tendency to lie, another thing that we put away that, you know, we don't allow to rise in our hearts. And, you know, sometimes I think people become so adjusted to lying that they don't hardly know truth anymore. You know, it seems like there's some people that lie so naturally that you can hardly tell it's a lie. And I think they've convinced itself, and it's a horrible place to be in. It's a horrible thing to be given over to that spirit of deceit and no longer even know. But praise the Lord, we can put off lying, we can lay it away and speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Praise the Lord, we don't want to deceive one another. We want to be honest and open, and all part of putting on a new man. And then the next verse explains, verse 26, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. And we find out that wrath isn't something that we want in our hearts, in our lives. It's something that we want to totally rid ourselves of. And if there would be occasion, oh, there are things that rise up in our spirit, even a righteous indignation at times. And we see the way the world is and the distress the world is in and other things that take a hold of us. There perhaps could be a righteous indignation that would rise up, but we're never to be given over to an anger that is full of revenge and spitefulness and all that sort of thing. We need to give that totally to the Lord and not give place to that. And never, never let the sun go down upon your wrath. In other words, the need to give everything over to the Lord before the day is over, not to allow that hanging on to it, but giving it over to the Lord. You know, the mercies of the Lord are new every morning. And oh, praise the Lord, we want a fresh start. We want to be right with the Lord. You know, we don't want something hanging on us, some sin, some, you know, revengeful spirit, some, you know, some spitefulness or anger or wrath or, you know, whatever all might have affected us in the past. But we want it not to hinder us or to destroy us, because those kind of things, yes, they can take a grip on an individual and bring a person down. They can be a destroying element indeed. And then it tells us in verse 27, neither give place to the devil. And I believe give place means never to give opportunity to the devil. Sometimes people, even unknowingly at times, have things in their lives or things in their household or things that they know not of that give opportunity or place to the devil. And we never want to have those things hanging around. You know, that deck of playing cards that, you know, we might have played with in the past, you know, we don't want them hanging around so that, you know, oh, we look at them one day and, oh, think, well, I used to do this and it seemed okay. You know, I just, why don't I give it a try, you know, and all the little flirtations with the enemy. No, we don't want to have those kind of things hanging over us, you know, those dark places that we maybe once entered, those bars, those taverns, those nightclubs, those dance halls, all those kind of things that were once a part of our lives, those rock concerts, all those kind of things. We don't want to entertain them anymore. We don't want them to be a place or influence in our lives. They're things of the past, the things of the old man. We've given them over to the Lord, and we don't want them to rise up in our hearts. Sometimes people just have these little things laying around, oh, a horoscope or, you know, something like that, an object that attracts devils. Oh, we don't want any of that around. If we become aware of, you know, that possibility, we want to get rid of that thing. Yes, and you know, oh, sometimes it's magazines, it's books, it's movies, you know, television, things that allure people and misdirect them and send the wrong signals and, you know, may ignite something in the spirit that's totally of the devil and not of God. So whatever that might be, any perverted material, anything all that would distract us from our walk with the Lord, we don't want to give place to it. We don't want to give the devil any opportunity to work in our lives. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then verse 28 tells us, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Oh, praise the Lord. And that reminds me of the story of Zacchaeus there in the book of Luke, and when the Lord Jesus got a hold of him. Oh, yes, that little publican man that wanted to see the Lord as Jesus passed through Jericho, and it was so intense within him that he climbed up into a sycamore tree. For the scripture tells us he was short of stature and he couldn't see very well at all beyond all the other persons that were in the way. But Jesus saw him up in the sycamore tree, and Jesus knew that there was something in his heart that was crying out for the living God. And praise the Lord, Jesus told them to come down from that tree, and he was going to go to his house today and praise the Lord. He listened, and he did that. He came down from the tree. Jesus went to his house, and after that point, he was a changed man. Oh, yes. Those things that he had taken dishonestly, he wanted to return. Oh, yes. Even with a dividend, you know, more than they were worth, because he realized he had done it unjustly. He said he would restore fourfold the things that he had taken by false accusation, improperly, dishonestly. He was going to bring it back. And he also said, "The half of my goods I'm going to give to the poor." Praise the Lord. And Jesus said, "This day is salvation come to this house." Yes, this day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Oh, praise the Lord. But that's what happens when our lives are turned over to the living God. Praise the Lord. There in the 19th chapter of Luke, that's exactly what happened to this publican. He was despised by so many people. Oh, he had done things that were dishonest. But that all changed when Jesus came to his house. Praise the Lord. Jesus changed that man, and so he can change us tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. So it tells us, again, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Praise the Lord. Honest living and the desire to help whomsoever we can help. Amen. And then it talks about the things that come out of our mouth. And I think we all know how hard it is to take back things that we say inappropriately or quickly out of an angry spirit, perhaps, or whatever all. But praise the Lord, we can give that tongue to the Lord and let him take that over. Oh, begin to take that mouth of ours and refine it and remake it. And here it tells us in verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Oh yes, we want our words to be seasoned with salt, with grace, with humility, with words of life that will help, will edify even those that don't believe. Oh, praise the Lord. Words can make such a difference. And if words can be used to corrupt, they can also be used for edifying, for the building up, for the good of other people too. Praise the Lord. I just think it's wonderful that when he fills us with the Holy Ghost, he takes that unruly member of our mouth, as it speaks in the book of James. He uses that tongue. Oh, yes, it begins to work in that tongue. And we begin to utter words in another language that we know not of. Because the Lord is coming into our life to change us. Oh, to refine us, to make us new creatures in Christ. And he uses that very unruly member. Oh, yes, that we might be made new in the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. So we don't want any corrupt communication coming forth out of our mouths, but rather that which is good for the use of edifying or building up those that we would minister to, the hearers that would hear our language and our words and our communication. Then verse 30 says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Oh, praise the Lord. And you know, the Israelites grieved God time and time again by the things that they embraced, by their, half halfway attempts to serve God while their heart was given over to another entity, to an idol, to a evil spirit, even the things that they were tempted with and gave their hearts over to, totally grieving the Lord time and time again because they did not walk in the light that they had. They did not keep His commandments and walk in them, but rather they grieved the living God. And a lot of times, even people that are believers, maybe even filled with the Holy Ghost at times, don't listen to that still small voice that speaks to the soul and they let little things enter in. The little things, cause great damage in one's life. The unbelief, the hypocrisies, the works of the flesh, idolatry, all kinds of little things that can just kind of, make their way in and, make us something that we don't want to be, rather than being a living testimony, a light in this dark world, something that's mixed and confusing. People are watching us. We're living epistles, seen and known of all men. They're watching our lives, and we don't want to give mixed signals so that they don't know, they say they're a Christian, but the words that come out of their mouth are something else. Or, the way they dress is something else. Or the things they do, it's something else. We don't want to give mixed signals. And we certainly don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit of God, whereby we were sealed unto the day of redemption. Oh, that seal is so important in our lives. Oh, yes, we were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. It tells us in Ephesians, the first chapter. And that seal, we notice in the book of Revelation that God's people have a seal on their lives. And there are certain things that cannot be done until the family of God is sealed by the Spirit of the living God. There's a seal that's in the foreheads of the living God. And, it's interesting because later in the book of Revelation, it tells us that His name is in our foreheads, the name of the living God. But we don't want to do anything that would grieve the living God. A lot of times people are just careless in their walk. They allow things, maybe even entertainment, and sometimes it may seem innocent at first, but, gradually do something rather than bring us closer to the Lord. We don't want anything to take us away. We want our works, the things that we hear, the things that we see, to bring us closer to the Lord, not further away. And we certainly don't want to grieve Him, that Holy Spirit of God, whereby we were sealed unto the day of redemption. Praise the Lord. Then it tells us in verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And I'll tell you, these are maybe sometimes little boxes that enter in, almost, just little incidents that we can't understand or confusing and, abuse sometimes and things that go wrong and we let it. Those things can cause bitterness. They can cause wrath. They can cause anger. They can cause clamoring, which is, obnoxious complaining and evil speaking. And all of this is to be put away from us as Christians. And then it says, with all malice, or any desire to harm anybody else, any hatred, or any, desire to see people suffering, that revengeful spirit at times. All these things need to be put away from us. And then it tells us in verse 32, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. And praise the Lord, we could never thank him enough for what he did for us. Oh, as miserable as we were in our old man, in our old ways, oh, as undeserving as we were in our old lives, how could we ever thank him enough for reaching out to us when we were down there in the pit? Oh, yes, when we were down there in our ugly sin, serving ourselves, serving the devil, pleasing ourselves, and doing the things that, you know, caused him, oh, to be distressed and even angry with us. But praise the Lord, there was that time. And despite the fact that we were in our sin, that we were sinners, and Christ died for the ungodly. And what a precious thing it is. You know, he didn't have to go to the cross. Oh, yes, he easily could have evaded that moment. He could have called those legions of angels in heaven. Oh, he could have been spared that. He didn't have to stand up against all that ridicule and mocking, all that abuse, all those accusations, all those lies. Oh, he didn't have to stand up and take it. But praise the Lord. It tells us in Romans, the 5th chapter, verse 6, for when we were yet without strength, Romans 5, verse 6, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. The 7th verse says, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Verse 9, much more then, being now justified by his blood. Oh, that atoning blood of Calvary that covers our sins when we give them over to the Lord. And we're justified, we're made just by his blood. We're forgiven. Praise the Lord. We shall be saved from wrath through him. All that wrath when he comes back in vengeance to repay those deeds that have been done. Oh, yes, to judge his people, to judge all that ever lived on this earth. He comes back. But praise the Lord, because of that justification by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It tells us in verse 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, being restored, being brought back, we shall be saved by his life. Praise the Lord. What a wonderful gift we've been given by the Almighty God. Praise the Lord. And going back to Ephesians, the 4th chapter here, again, that ending verse there in that 4th chapter, verse 32. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so then, as we go into the 5th chapter of Ephesians, first verse says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Praise the Lord. And you know, our example is Jesus Christ. Oh yes, he's the good shepherd. He's the one we want to follow. And here it tells us, be therefore followers of God as dear children. And he says, dear children, it's not talking about the rebellious ones. Oh, yes, that kicked up storm and refused to obey. But no, we want to have a moldable spirit, a tender spirit before the living God. You want to allow him to take our lives and shape us and reformat us and make us what we ought to be in the Lord so that we can be followers of God as dear children. And the second verse tells us, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Oh, the wonderful fragrance of that blessing that he gave for us, that life that he offered for us, that sweet-smelling savor. But then it begins to tell us, okay, we're going to walk in love. We're going to be followers of God. But there's some things that we can't allow in our lives. There's some things that we have to forbear. There's some things that we have to get rid of and not give any attention to. It says in verse 3, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becoming saints. It's just not to be these works of the flesh. And there's a great list, actually, even more than are mentioned here in other places in the scripture. But these things, they are not to be once named among us, not ever allowed any uncleanness. And unclean there, looking in the Cruden's Concordance, it actually refers to impurity or lewdness, even demonic sort of things, a foulness, all the things that arise from uncleanness. You would turn with me to Romans, the first chapter, for a minute here. Romans, following the book of Acts. It tells about a people who once knew God but turned away from God. Not a good thing at all. Verse 21 says, as it talks about such, it says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. And verse 22 in Romans 1 says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Oh yes, the people of this world often think that they are wise. Oh yeah, Mr. Samuel writes in his newsletter that, you know, they some of them have calculated that people are more intellectual if they don't have it in their heart to serve the Lord, if they're atheists, you know, that they don't have the need to follow after somebody else. But indeed, the fool has it in his heart that there is no God. Oh, we see that their wisdom becomes great foolishness and all the trouble that they're in at this moment in abandoning God. Oh, I'll tell you what, God has given them over quite largely. But here it tells us in this 22nd verse, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Oh, God is not an image. The eternal God is a spirit. But man often has tried to make him like unto a corruptible man, and to birds, four-footed beasts, creeping things, things like that that they worshipped, not giving credence to the living God, the eternal spirit of the man Christ Jesus. And so there are consequences to that. It tells us in verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And then you see what God does to such people. It tells us in verse 26, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. They've been given over. That reprobate mind, that mind that can't discern what is right and what is wrong, God has, for that cause, given them up unto vile affections. And it tells us in verse 27, and likewise also the man, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet, or in other words, appropriate. Oh, I'll tell you what, those sins of Sodom and Gomorrah do not please God. He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. He doesn't like it anymore today than he liked it then. Amen. And he gives those people over, it tells us. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Oh, that's a horrible place to be when you can no longer discern between what is right and what is wrong. A horrible place to be when you no longer are pricked in your conscience and no longer have that desire to do the things that are right. I think we live in that kind of world these days. Oh yes, we're all the what they call that which is right wrong, and the things that are wrong right. I'll tell you what, it's not right at all. It's not good at all, and God is not winking at it. Oh yes, and all the other things that come and fill that cup. Oh yes, and they've given their hearts over, and God has allowed it, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. All people that are given over, and all the things that creep in, all these lusts of the flesh, all these horrendous attributes that come into the lives of those that are given over. I think we live in that kind of world today. Sad to say. But here, going back to Ephesians, the 5th chapter. Again, that 3rd verse. But fornication in all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saints, these works of the flesh. Then it says in verse 4, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, meaning appropriate, but rather giving of thanks. And so often, the things that come out of people's mouths. I know Brother Tim was telling me a week ago or something, maybe he was in a checkout line, and there was an individual right in front of him who was talking on the cell phone real loud. You could hear him, and the things that were coming out of his mouth were just filthy. And something stirred within Brother Tim's heart, and he rebuked that man. In fact, he rebuked him twice and said, don't you know you're in the company of other people, even children, and they can hear your filthy mouth and spewing out all that ugliness, all that terrible filth. Oh, I'll tell you what, there's so many that don't care, and they just let their mouth go loose. But here it tells us neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but instead rather giving of thanks. So God wants us to be thankful in our hearts and not be given over to things which are not appropriate. Tells us if we turn to the book of James, right after Hebrews, here in the New Testament, the book of James, if we turn to the first chapter, chapter 1 of James, verse 26. Tells us, verse 26, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Oh, I'll tell you what, you know, the way we behave ourselves, our conduct, you know, no matter what we think, it tells a story. You know, and if we declare that we're religious, that we're a Christian even, and we let our tongue go loose, we don't bridle it, we let any old thing come out of it, we're only deceiving our own hearts. And it tells us that man's religion is vain, it's empty, it's worthless, it's talking so loud that, you know, no matter what you say or who you say you are, it tells a story. And then turning to the fifth chapter of James here, catching a couple verses. Verse 11. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Here in James 5, verse 11. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any oath, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. Oh, praise the Lord. We don't want to tell a tale. We don't want to exaggerate to the extent that, you know, they don't even know what is truth anymore. But it tells us to say things as they are, according to truth. Yea, be yea. Yeah. Things that are negative, things that are nay, nay. So it's clear. So there's no ambiguity. So people can know, and we're never to swear by anything in heaven, anything on earth, or by any other oath. And I'll tell you what, you can't claim that you're a Christian and go to the Masonic Lodge and say that you are coming there in search of light and taking an oath. I'll tell you what, that clearly illustrates that you don't know the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, neither filthiness, back here in Ephesians 5, verse 4, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Oh, a thankful spirit. How beautiful it is. Oh, yes. You're somebody that maybe in spite of trouble in one's life, maybe in spite of pain, has a thankful heart. What a beautiful thing to see, and you know, how God must look at that and oh, he'd like to touch that individual and know that would be one of his. Praise the Lord. Amen. So those things are not to be mentioned, are not to be out of our mouths. And jesting here is more so witticism that is in a vulgar sense, as it indicated in the Cruden's Concordance again. But these things which are not convenient, but rather giving up thanks. Then it tells us in verse 5, for this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Well, that's just telling us there. You know, anybody who's associated with whores, that's a whoremonger, nor unclean person. We talked about uncleanness, that impurity, even foulness, even a demonic sort of uncleanness. There are covetousness, all that spirit that rises up with individuals to envy and to want things that are not theirs, and indicates who is an idolater, to give your heart to anything more than God. Have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God, I'll tell you, that's really telling us. It's just telling us, if those are your characteristics, if those are your traits, then there's no place for you. There's no inheritance for you in the kingdom of Christ and of God. There's a little longer list if we look at 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. Turn it there for a moment. 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, verse 9. It says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." It's clear and simple. Those are your traits. If you've got that unregenerated life and you've given over to those characteristics, if you're a fornicator or an idolater or an adulterer or effeminate, abuser of yourself with mankind, thief, covetous, drunkard, revilers, that harsh, critical language that comes out of some people's mouths, nor extortioners, those that take advantage of other people's money, shall inherit the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. Verse 11 says, "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." And that's the beauty of it. The Lord takes our lives, as we are, initially, as we come to the Lord, and He begins to remake us, to remold us, to shape in us, to give us new characteristics, a new way of thinking, a new way of dressing, a new way of talking, because we've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. We've been sanctified, we've been made holy by His righteousness, by the gift of the Holy Ghost that He puts within us. And we're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We were made just. We went down in the waters of baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus. And went in filling of the Holy Ghost by the Spirit of our God. Praise the Lord, how He takes us and begins to change us. What a wonderful thing it is. Praise the Lord. So back here in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, it tells us in verse 6, "Let no man deceive you with vain words." No matter how popular it is to be a sinner, it's not going to make it into heaven. Sin is not going to make it into heaven. And no matter what people declare and state, it says, "Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience." And it tells us clearly in verse 7, "Be not ye therefore partakers with them." The Lord separates us. We might have to have some doings and dealings with people that are without, but we never want to partake of their sins. There's got to be a line drawn. There's got to be a separation. You know, we can't go gamble with the rest of the people. You know, we can't go drink in the bars with the rest of the people. or dance on the dance floors with all of them. We're not to be partakers with them. There's a change in us. You know, all those casinos and all those other things with the bright lights that lure people and the old try to deceive them. Those things all are not for the child of God. We certainly don't want to mingle with them. We don't want to be partakers. Oh, yes, there's things that we put down. We're not going to drink that glass of wine. Oh, no, or partake in their other filthiness. It tells us in verse 8, "For ye were sometimes darkness," just as we read in 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. Oh, and such was some of you. It says, "For ye were sometimes darkness." We all walked in the dark at one point. But now are ye light in the Lord. And therefore, it tells us, walk as children of light. Oh, yes. We leave behind the world. That trail of all those things that follow that sinful life. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Oh, the fruit of the Spirit, oh, that He puts within our hearts. They're named, if you turn back to the book of Galatians, the book right before Ephesians there, chapter 5 of Galatians names the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. It tells us again, such there is no law. All those characteristics that were in Christ Jesus that He wants in His very children, His children. And it tells us in verse 24, "And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts," these things that were once attributes in our lives. We have crucified that old man. Oh, you know, we've killed him. You know, we don't want him to reign and rule in our bodies. "So they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another, but instead allowing the fruit of the Spirit to abide in us, to abound in us. Oh, yes, to be a strength within us, recognizable in our lives. As it tells us again, Ephesians 5, verse 9, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth." Oh, the very attributes of God. And verse 10, "Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord." Having His approval, you know, that life that we live is a turnaround from the old life. So, as we begin to turn our hearts to the Lord and put on the new man, put off the old man, then we're going to prove what is acceptable. As we listen to that still small voice that speaks to our soul, we're going to do the things, we're going to say the things, we're going to look like that person that He wants us to be, to prove what is acceptable unto the Lord. And then He tells us, as He told us, not to be partakers with the unfruitful works of disobedience. Here He tells us here, in verse 11, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." And if we are alive in this world, we can reprove those filthy works, those works of darkness. Oh, there's so many that walk in the darkness and they don't even understand and know, just following their instinct and not give it over to the Lord. But we can reprove them by a life that is lived in Christ, doing the things that are acceptable in the sight of the Lord. But He tells us, have no fellowship with those unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And He tells us here, "For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret." Oh, some things are so horrendous. And we read that list there in Romans, the first chapter. The characteristics of those that are given over and all the things that are done behind closed doors so often. He says it's a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. And it tells us in verse 13, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. Oh, the light of the Lord reveals it. Oh, yes, that light of the Lord Jesus. We turn to the third chapter of John here for a moment, the Gospel of John, for a few verses here. John 3, verse 19. Verse 19 reads, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Yes, the light of the Lord is going to show us those things that are wrong in our lives. You know, it's going to shine just brightly, and we're going to know, hey, I've got to get rid of this. You know, I've got to start, you know, doing this. You know, boy, I can't dress like that anymore. I can't talk like that. There's going to be some changes when the light shines in our lives, and all at once we can see the sin that's been hidden in the darkness. But there's those that don't want to come, that their deeds would be reproved. They hate the light, rather, because they want to remain in the dark. They want to continue to do the things that they have always done. They don't want to come to the light and be saved, because their deeds would be reproved, it tells us. But verse 21 says that he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Oh, wrought in God. He begins to take our lives and make us his workmanship, make us his creation. Oh, yes, that our deeds, our life is wrought in God. It's working in the Lord. It's created in God. And that our deeds could be made manifest, that we are of the light, that we are following the Lord. Praise the Lord for that. It tells us back here in Ephesians 5, again, verse 13, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. They're revealed by the light of the gospel, the light that is in Jesus Christ, the light that is in his children. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Oh, I tell you what, if you look again at that first verse in Ephesians, the second chapter, oh, it tells us, and you have been quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Oh, the Lord will begin to work in our lives. Began to quicken us. He made us alive because we walked in those sins. We were like a dead man. We didn't know right from wrong, hardly. We weren't listening to the still voice of the Lord. We weren't walking in the light. We were dead in those trespasses and sins. There was that call to life, that call by the living God, that call to repentance. And oh, praise the Lord, that all at once we came to the light. Oh, that our deeds could someday be made manifest, that they are wrought in Christ. Oh, yes, we had in times past walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Oh, praise the Lord. But there was a God who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. Even when we were dead in sins, had quickened us together with Christ by grace. We are saved. That wonderful, unmerited favor that he gave us, that grace that he extended toward us, that we might be made alive in Jesus Christ. Oh, that mercy, not giving us that which we deserved for all our sin, but rather forgiving us that grace that was shown to us that we could be saved. And he hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. We can sit here tonight. We can worship the Lord. We can be in heavenly places with him because, oh, he walks among us. Oh, he talks through his people. He's here with his people. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in your midst. The Lord has raised us up together. Oh, yes, that we might sing his praises. Oh, that we might glorify him by the life that we are living, that we might be a testimony of his quickening power. Praise the Lord. And so it tells us here again, oh, arise, awake thou that sleepest, verse 14, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Oh, praise the Lord. If you just come to the Lord, if you just let him change you, he's going to give thee light so you can see where you're going, so you can know where you're going and not walking in the darkness. And it says, verse 15, Ephesians 5, see then that you walk circumspectly, means discreetly, not as fools, but as wise, in wisdom, with direction, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Oh, yes, and we need to make our time count. Oh, yes, we know that we're in the end times, and oh, we know not how many more days or hours we have left. There's a way that we can redeem the time. All the days are evil, but we can redeem them by doing the will of our Father, which is in heaven. Oh, yes, by giving our lives to the Lord, to make our moments count, to do things that are eternal. We can redeem the time because the days are evil. And then verse 17, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Oh, the will. Oh, yes, that we would walk in the light, even as he is the light, that we would be doing the will of our Father, which is in heaven. It tells us, verse 18, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Oh, be filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, let your lamps be trimmed and burning. Oh, yes, we don't want that light of the Holy Ghost to be dim in our lives. We don't want to run out of oil. But oh, we want to be led by the Spirit of God. For those that are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. It tells us in Romans 8 chapter, for led by the Spirit of God. So we want, oh, never to give our hearts over, our lives over to wine wherein is excess, but rather all in our life be filled with the presence of a living God, with the Spirit of a living God. Oh, there's so much to the Lord. Oh, we always have more within our being. And it tells us here, all these are wise ways, how we can be led by the Spirit of God, how we can let the Holy Ghost reign in our hearts. It says in verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Oh, yes. Meditating upon the good things of God, all those songs of praise, those all the psalms of utterance there, the proverbs, the hymns, the spiritual songs, all those things that are unto edification, those things that will build our spirits up and help our minds to dwell on the things that are heavenly. Oh, yes, we want to dwell on those things. We want to let those things have the preeminence in our lives. Speaking to yourself with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Oh, you can notice, you know, when you began to sing with all your heart unto the Lord, how everything else begins to disappear. You know, just as we meditate upon the Lord and think upon the goodness of the Lord, you know, all the other negatives, you know, are cast down, are cast away. You know, we're lifting up the Lord, we're edifying Him and letting that Spirit abound in our hearts. Oh, praise the Lord. That's how we let the Spirit of God reign in our lives and have the preeminence. And then it tells us in verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that Spirit of thankfulness, oh, that wells up within us. Oh, praise the Lord, these things that are done unto edification. Praise the Lord. It tells us we go to Jude. That little one chapter book right before the book of Revelation. If we go to Jude here. Jude at verse 20. One little verse here. Oh yes, it's described all the ugly works of sin. But it says, but ye, verse 20, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the Lord. That's how we build ourselves up. That's how we're edified in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in the Holy Ghost. We let the Spirit of God pray through us. We meditate on the things of the Lord and let His presence overwhelm those things that are negative, those things that are detrimental. Praise the Lord. One more place before we close here tonight. If we could go to the Psalms. Psalms 19. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Psalms 19. It says, verse 9, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. Oh, those words of mine, they warn us. And in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Verse 13. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Oh, yes, we need that purity that comes from the Lord, and we don't. Oh, want those presumptuous sins, those sins of arrogance and pride and overconfidence to have any influence or part in our lives. So the psalmist, who I believe was David, said, keep back thy sin off thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Oh, praise the Lord, that forgiveness that comes from the Lord when we yield our heart over to Him. And then verse 14, as I close, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Oh, praise the Lord. As we turn our lives over to the Lord and give Him first place in our life, we want the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts to be acceptable in His sight. Praise the Lord that He might find us acceptable when we stand before Him on that great day. We stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Oh, that the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, these words of life that He's given us so that we can be free. Oh, that we don't have to live in presumptuous sin or the arrogance of man or the pride of life. The sins, oh, that followed us when we were yet sinners. But praise the Lord, He has redeemed us. And He's given us a new life that we can put off the former conversation of the old man and put on the new man, which is after God and created in righteousness and true holiness. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we thank you for your words of life, God. Help us, Lord, to apply them. Help us to live in them. Oh, God, help us to stand in them, Lord. Put it within us, Lord. Oh, God, that we might at that day be acceptable in thy sight. Oh, Lord, the meditation of our heart, the words of our mouth, that they might be find acceptance in thy sight. Oh, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, God.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. Well, I know that we sing this chorus quite often, but it just seems so fitting to sing it tonight. Let's go to number 47 in the chorus book. Lord, make me what I ought to be. Number 47.
Lord, make me what I ought to be.